To fully understand the story of Tarkov, we need to look at all available sources. Of course, we have the game itself, but BSG has provided us with many other sources to piece together what has taken place and what may happen in the future. Some of these sources include obscure documents published years ago, and some of them buried in forum posts. Then of course we have the Raid live action series, but now we turn our attention to the official Escape from Tarkov books, written by Alexander Kantorovich, starting with Predator, the first in the trilogy. We'll do a deeper dive into the individual aspects of these books later, but for now, here's a full review of the first book. Keep in mind that this video will contain spoilers. Predator follows our protagonist, Dennis, who is an IT systems administrator for the Terra Group Corporation. He currently lives in Tarkov City, in a relatively high-end studio apartment that is equipped with a self-designed smart home system. One day, Terra Group executives order a sort of all-hands-on-deck emergency review of all systems relating to their inventory. The job must be completed as quickly as possible, so to remove distractions as well as provide employees with a comfortable working environment, Terra Group rents out an entire wing of the nearby Azure Coast Health Resort for the employees to stay at while they complete their task. Oddly enough, some of Terra Group's armed USEC security personnel shuttled the teams there, and while Dennis finds this somewhat odd, he doesn't think too much of it. For about 2 weeks, the teams work day and night to complete their task, but they do so successfully and on time. Shuttled back to the city, Dennis and a few of his coworkers decide not to disembark in their USEC guarded vans on time, and instead visit a nearby bar or cafe. It is at this point that Dennis starts to notice a few odd things. Vehicles seem to be leaving the city in a hurry, and the streets seem slightly disorderly. Hiding out in his apartment, he watches news reports of violence breaking out all over the city, and that a full evacuation is going on. Rather than evacuate, he decides to hold out in his apartment and wait for everything to blow over. Eventually, he decides to head out for supplies some days later, and finds that various shops are either broken into and looted, or are closed shut. Eventually, he hears some looting nearby, and goes to see what's going on. Some military men have shot and killed a looter, but they spare Dennis because he is unarmed. He later recalls that they were wearing a patch that reads, "Bear." Back at his apartment, he isn't sure what to do next until some of his friends arrive. They have a car ready, and they are urging him to leave with them and evacuate. They are also Terra Group employees. They are about to leave when Dennis remembers he forgot his water bottles in the apartment, and he heads back up to get them. This ends up saving his life, as a squad of Bear show up and run his two waiting friends against a database of Terra Group targets. They match, and the Bear shoot and kill them while they're still in the car. Then, they light their car on fire. Dennis is also on the list, including his apartment number, and the Bear squad search his apartment while Dennis hides nearby. Not finding their target, they decide to rig the apartment with a grenade or a claymore booby trap so that it will kill Dennis when he returns. Avoiding the Bear squad, and unable to return to his apartment, Dennis starts roaming the streets, trying to figure out what to do next. Before long, he is captured by a group of thugs that are essentially proto-scavs, or people who will eventually become scavs as conditions deteriorate further. They are not very well armed, mostly with bats and knives, and they force Dennis to become part of their looting squad. Each day, they force these captured people to help them break into apartments and methodically loot them of any weapons, medicine, food, water, and liquor that they can find. After days of performing this back-breaking labor, Dennis finds an opportunity to escape, and in doing so, inadvertently kills a man in the process, his first kill of many. Now free, but a wanted man by both this gang and apparently Bear, he wanders the streets again, and notices that a shop nearby seems to be still in operation despite all the mayhem, although it now has armed guards and has been fortified with sandbags. Dennis thinks that it makes sense that even some shopkeepers are adapting to this new way of life, and that he may be able to find things he needs there. After forming a shaky new relationship with the shopkeeper, he learns that he can trade high-demand items for things like food and weapons. One of the most in-demand items right now is fresh water. Finding a leaky pipe in a nearby apartment that he broke into, he slowly fills empty water bottles with fresh water, and uses a lighter to reseal the anti-tamper seal on the bottles to make them appear brand new, and brings these in, along with some cigarettes and condoms to trade for food. The shopkeeper laughs at him when he tries to trade condoms, but he gladly takes the other items. Upon leaving the shop, he gets roughed up by some criminals, and he learns that these guys are harassing and stealing from anyone who visits the shopkeeper. Finding protection, specifically a gun, becomes a priority. Realizing that the bear who killed the looter earlier shot him because he probably had a gun, he revisits the crime scene and finds a rusty, sawed-off pump shotgun under a display case. Bringing more water to the dealer, he trades for some shotgun shells, and he's now armed and dangerous. This next sequence was a little hard to follow, but it seems like the bandits that roughed him up after leaving the trader wanted to deposit a portion of whatever he got from the trader in a bin located nearby. Dennis decides to ambush and deal with these bandits, or they will never stop stealing from him. He ends up shooting and killing one, and injuring a second. Upon hearing the shots, Pavel, who also goes by the name Sledgehammer, comes by and offers a deal to Dennis. If he can stop criminals like this from harassing the trader's customers, they can form a better relationship with discounts. But if he causes too much destruction and mayhem, they'll kill him. Eventually, the trader tells Dennis of another dealer operating near the port area. He was a criminal and lowlife long before Tarkov fell into violence, and he was also a drug dealer. While he's never specifically named, this sounds exactly like Skier. He is a competitor to the trader, and he wants him to go meet the guy to find out exactly what's going on. Before setting out on this journey, Dennis decides to meet with an old friend by the name of Mishka, who was a drug addict, to see if he knows anything else about this new trader. After arriving at Mishka's place, he finds that he is sober and acting oddly. Then, some hooded individuals silently enter the room and put a bag over Dennis's head and take him off to some unknown location. Removing the bag from his head, Dennis is now in some kind of underground tunnel, and the hooded individuals, who refer to each other as brothers, interrogate Dennis. They are highly interested in the fact that he worked for Terra Group, but upon learning that he was just a systems admin, they become disinterested and say to one another that he is not one of us. They place him in a holding cell until they plan to force him to start digging tunnels where he meets another captive, a former police officer. The police officer tells him in detail the chronological order of events of how everything happened in Tarkov. Both law enforcement and local government knew well in advance that something was coming that would require a full-scale evacuation. How or why they knew this, he didn't know. The evacuation was going smoothly until buses of evacuees started being shot at by unknown forces, and then complete anarchy and shootouts sprung up all over the city. It culminated in a blinding flash and a huge blast at the center of the city, after which all sophisticated electronics ceased working. He remarked that even the military had concrete barriers to seal off the entire region on standby, like it was all rehearsed well in advance. These hooded figures who had captured them both are clearly cultists, or will become cultists, although the book doesn't specifically say that name. Dennis also reflects on seeing their markings around the city, and that they look oddly familiar. Eventually, Dennis hatches a plan to escape during a guard shift change, and ends up killing a cultist leader in the process. He also steals his unique-looking knife. Later on, when Dennis and the former cop share a meal, Dennis goes to slice up some sausage with the knife, and the cop gets very serious, advising that the knife shouldn't be used for that purpose, and that it's dangerous, and has been used to draw human blood. After leaving, the book transitions to the cultist's point of view after Dennis had escaped, and they remark to one another that they need to increase security, because no one must know when the blue flame returns. What this blue flame is unknown. Before leaving the area, Dennis returns to Mishka's apartment, and while going through a jacket pocket, he finds a flash drive. Recognizing that this is something that Terra Group personnel used, he remarks that it not only contains information, but it can also be used as a key. He keeps the device. Over the course of the book, Dennis has some skirmishes with various scav gangs and scattered pockets of USEC. During this time, he covertly sneaks into some scav bases and either converses with or kills leaders of various gangs from the shadows, never revealing his face. When doing this, he refers to himself as being the Predator, a name he randomly came up with that is inspired from the American movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. This Predator figure becomes legendary and feared among the scav gangs, and nobody ever suspects that Dennis is the actual Predator, but he is the Predator's messenger. Eventually, he meets the port drug dealer, or basically Skier. He has an elaborate operation going on, and has a large network of criminals working for him. Skier is highly interested in the flash drives, like the one Dennis found earlier. This confirms to Dennis that the flash drives are very important. After Dennis leaves, Skier remarks to his henchmen that Dennis is the real deal, because he carries the knife of a sect leader openly. Eventually, Dennis decides to read what's on one of the flash drives by using a laptop he found. In it, he discovers that it has all kinds of Terra Group logs and information that was input by various people. In it, he discovers that Terra Group also knew that some kind of event was coming, but rather than stop it, they seemed eager for it to happen. But something causes Dennis to freeze when he notices that under several entries, they abruptly end with a single sentence. They are already here. Who they are is unknown. There are a few more adventures and battles that take place. The most notable is towards the end of the book. Dennis infiltrates a local factory, which happens to be occupied by a huge squad of Yusek. Killing a few and taking their gear, he retreats back to a friendly scav checkpoint and arms them all with stolen equipment. Encouraged by all the fancy new gear, Dennis and the huge group of scavs assault the factory and take it over. While searching the pockets of a dead Yusek officer, Dennis finds another flash drive. The scavs take over the factory and turn it into a fortress, complete with booby traps and other fortifications. Eventually, an SUV pulls up, and Dennis decides to parlay with the Yusek commander. The Yusek commander requests that the scavs give the factory back to them, but they refuse. They then turn their attention to the flash drive that the Yusek officer had, stating that it was extremely important to them. Again, Dennis refuses. The Yusek angrily leave, and the book abruptly ends. That is the basic story of the first book, but there are a few things to note. First, I want to talk about the book itself. Obviously, it was written in Russian, and translating Russian to English can be a little bit difficult. At times, the book can read like a young adult's novel, and whoever translated it was definitely very, very British. And a few jokes and bits of British humor seem to be added in here and there, and can seem a little out of place. I don't think this is the fault of the author or his writing style, but rather the translator. Second, there are definitely a lot of questions raised here. The cult definitely seems to be way more important to the story of Tarkov than I originally thought. Also, Dennis said that the cult's symbols seem familiar. Why would they be familiar to a middle management Terra Group desk jockey? I have theories, but that'll be another video. Also, a few things to note. The UN is never mentioned or seen at any point. Maybe that will be in the next two books. Also, the only dealer that is mentioned by name is Therapist, but only briefly. The original dealer that Dennis meets tells him he should go see her sometime. But I'm definitely thinking the drug dealer is Skier. No bosses are ever mentioned either. It's definitely an interesting story, and I'm hoping in the next two books it's elaborated upon further. I also hope that we get to meet some of the bosses and other traitors, and find out more about them. The entire time Dennis's character evolves from a computer nerd to a hardened killer, he seems indifferent about the change. He never battles with the emotional impact of killing others and seeing a large amount of death. This could be a coping mechanism, but it seems like a missed opportunity for some good character development. I'm going to elaborate on specific elements of the book, including some new theories I have in future videos. I'm also going to start reading the second book in the series, so you can expect another full review of that when I'm finished. These books can be a bit of a struggle to read at times, so if you could take a moment to subscribe to our channel to help out, I'd really appreciate it. I'll have new videos out soon, but until then, I'm Jeff with EUL Gaming. Good luck out there.